can anyone stop Paris Saint-Germain?
Question marks on the fitness front, but on paper, they are very much still the team to beat.
Are Spurs ready for the big time?
I think overall the general mood is pretty optimistic. People are bullish about Frank. They like him. And the squad looks a bit better this season than it did last season.
And what on earth has Jeff Bezos got planned for football?
Skynet begins to learn at a geometric rate. It becomes self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Time, August 29th. In a panic, they try to pull the plug.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh and welcome to Route 1. It's football, fast, no faff. It's stories from all over the world. Let's go Route 1. Yes, it's Champions League time once again, the second outing of this very strange format, which would be genuinely brilliant if only 16 teams progressed, but it's still occasionally diverting with 24. 11 points is the target. That was enough for everyone except poor old Dynamo Zagreb and their -7 goal difference last year. It's a very reasonable benchmark to reach, though Manchester City did their level best to miss it last time. So too, for a while, did Paris Saint-Germain. And then they became the best team in the world. Let's not beat about the bush. They were incredible last season. Yes, they started slowly, but once they were in the knockout stages, they hit their stride and they blew poor Inter Milan away in a final that had no injury time because the referee felt sorry for them. True story. But what are they like now? Who's new? Who's gone? And how have they started the season? Tom Williams is our man in France.
PSG have pretty much picked up where they left off last season. The squad hasn't changed very much. Lucas Chevalier has obviously come in from Lille to take over from Gianluigi Donnarumma between the sticks, and Ilya Zabarnyi has been brought in from Bournemouth to provide a bit of backup for Marquinhos at centre-back, but that's pretty much it. League form has been good, 4 wins from 4. They're top of Liga already, surprise, surprise. The concern for PSG is on the injury front. Last season, Luis Enrique managed the squad extremely skillfully, managed to avoid any real injury problems. And throughout the Champions League knockout rounds, PSG were basically able to put out their full strength starting 11. We know that they've had a tricky summer on the fitness front, went straight into the Club World Cup, made it all the way to the final, looked like they'd run out of puff in that defeat against Chelsea in the final. 3 weeks off for the players, no pre-season, straight into the European Super Cup against Tottenham, where again they looked a little bit leggy. And all of a sudden they're struggling with injuries. Ousmane Dembele, Désiré Doué were both injured on France duty during the international break. They're not going to be around for PSG's opening games in the Champions League. In the game at Lens at the weekend, they lost 3 players to injury. Kvisha Kvaratskhelia, Lucas Beraldo and Lee Kang-in. None of those injuries, thankfully, seem all that serious, but it is a sign that injuries are starting to bite for PSG. Handily, the replacements for the absent players aren't bad. Gonçalo Ramos coming in for Dembele and, in all likelihood, Bradley Barcola taking over from Désiré Doué. So question marks on the fitness front, but on paper, they are very much still the team to beat.
Tom Williams is the author of the brilliant Vavavoom, the history of French football, which is every bit as good a read as Tor for Germany, Calcio for Italy and Morbo for Spain, if you know your literary classics. It was all going swimmingly for Thomas Frank at Tottenham until that wretched 1-0 defeat at home to Bournemouth, but then quickly returned to going swimmingly again as Spurs walloped West Ham 3-0 at the London Stadium. Tottenham are third, and aside from the Bournemouth aberration, they've won every league game without conceding. And then there was that frustrating but still kind of encouraging Super Cup defeat to PSG. Are they ready for the Champions League? Ange Postecoglou failed to balance European and domestic duties last season. Jack Pitt-Brook is the Athletic's Tottenham correspondent. Jack, is Thomas Frank going to do any better?
Yes, I think this is going to be the big question really for Spurs in the next 2 months, is how do they balance playing in the Premier League and playing in the Champions League? It's a new question for Thomas Frank. He hasn't managed in the Champions League before. It's going to be a challenge, I think, for their squad. You know, we saw last season that the squad wasn't deep enough to compete in the Premier League and the Europa League at the same time. They won the Europa League, but it came at the cost of a really disastrously bad Premier League campaign. They can't afford for that to happen again. So it's going to be a challenge. I think there's still some questions about the style of play, like how good are they at dominating the ball, at building up? We know they're good defensively. We know they're good on set pieces. So I wonder how their style will work in European competition. It'll be very interesting to see how they fare against Villarreal this evening. But I think overall, the general mood is pretty optimistic. People are bullish about Frank. They like him. And the squad looks a bit better this season than it did last season. And it's going to be really interesting to see what sort of changes he makes and the sort of tactical plans that he comes up with as they head into this Champions League campaign.
Check out The Athletic today. The link's in the episode description. Who else is playing tonight? Well, we've got two early games, 5:45 in the UK. Dutch champions PSV Eindhoven play Union Saint-Gilloise, current leaders of the Belgian Pro League, don't you know? But you won't be watching that, will you? You'll be watching Athletic Club against Arsenal. The Gunners are in good shape. Just the one defeat so far, and that was to a quite clearly enchanted Liverpool side. Athletic definitely looked a much more dangerous first opponent before the weekend, when they somehow managed to lose at home to Alaves, a win would have put them level on points at the top with Real Madrid. Juventus Dortmund looks like the hipster's choice of the night. New Juve boss Igor Tudor has them at the top of Serie A with maximum points. Look out for former Bristol City defender Lloyd Kelly in his three-man defence. Tudor faces his Croatian compatriot Niko Kovac, who grabbed the wheel at Dortmund last season and currently has them second in the Bundesliga with Bellingham Mark 2.0 in the middle. Real Madrid face a Marseille side capable of just about anything, and not necessarily in a good way. They are currently 7th in Ligue 1, with as many wins as players transfer listed for having fights so bad that one of the younger players watching fainted. Bellingham Mark 1.0 returns in that one. Benfica's leading presidential candidate has been making noises about Manchester United's beleaguered boss Ruben Amorim. Apparently, João Lopez will make a play for the former Sporting manager if he wins the upcoming election. Benfica play Carabag tonight. There are League Cup games tonight too. Crystal Palace Millwall will be a fun one for the local constabulary, I suspect. Plenty of bad blood there after Jean-Philippe Mateta's head met Liam Roberts' boot and 25 stitches were required to repair the damage. Grimsby's reward for victory over Manchester United is a trip to Sheffield Wednesday, where the mood is, if anything, even bleaker. And there's an all-Premier League tie as Brentford meet goal-shy Aston Villa. Elsewhere in football, Amazon Prime are rolling out a new separate broadcast feed for the Champions League this season. Coverage will now be supplemented with real-time graphics, statistics and insights, and of course, it will be done with AI, because everything is AI now. Did we learn nothing from the Terminator? Innovations will include a tactical map, the sort of miniature pitch all computer games have had since Dino Dini's kickoff in 1989. A momentum bar to calculate the probability either side will score in the next 10 seconds. Good job Villa aren't in the Champions League, as they'll break that bit. And passing options to convey a player's three most likely next passes with great big unwieldy arrows. All very impressive in its own way, but I give it 15 seconds before I have to remove it all from my screen so I can actually watch the poxy game. In legal news, Burnley are suing Everton for £50 million, claiming they'd have avoided relegation in 21-22 if the Toffees' six-point deduction had been applied that season instead of the next one. A win for Burnley could open the door to further challenges from other sides affected by points deductions. Now, call me cynical, but that does make me think they won't win, and I suspect they're just pushing for a settlement here. Either way, too much football's played out in courtrooms these days. It was bad enough when we all suddenly knew the names of every club's chairman. I can't live in a world where we all know the names of every club lawyers too. Arsenal's Max Dowman has already made a pretty hefty amount of history for someone who can't even apply for a provisional driving licence. If he makes an appearance for Arsenal away to Athletic Club, he'll add a bit more. Dowman can become the youngest ever player to appear in the Champions League, a full 108 days younger than... Well, actually, let's turn it into a quiz question. Who is the current youngest player in Champions League history? I'll give you the answer at the end of the show. And remember, there's 10 imaginary points up for grabs. Apologies to anyone yesterday who heard or saw the first edition of the podcast, one that was hurriedly deleted 5 minutes after release when we realised we'd talked about games of football that quite literally weren't happening this week. It's always an awful moment when you realise something has gone wrong and it's entirely your fault. This was very much the case yesterday, and so I did what any good CEO would do. The work experience boy has been fired. Hey, did you know we have a website? It's called Track Record. You'll find links to it on our various social media outlets and in the episode description. It's a nice little home for good people writing good stuff about good stuff. There's going to be a new Danny Kelly piece there soon. Young James Young has written a lovely bit about Richard Hawley. And you can find me writing about Football Manager as well, if that sort of thing floats your boat. Check it out today. It's called Track Record. Oh, and the youngest player ever to play in Champions League football, it was Youssoufa Moukoko, played with Dortmund, currently plying his trade with Copenhagen. That was Route 1. It was football fast, no faff. If you enjoyed it, make sure you give it a follow. And if you really enjoyed it, please do give us a review as well. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your audio producer was Helena Fremantle. Your video editor was Dean Throssell. Your video producer was Sean Nicholas. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. Lola Katz-Roberts and Sophie Manners were on website and social. And work experience boy Joseph Tate wasn't really fired. He's here for the rest of the week.